Let's start with the teaching. Again, this is Brother Jackson. And today, what we're going to be looking at is the Feast of Tabernacles. Why is it important to Elohim, and why it should be important to us? For some of us, it's probably, of course, all of us here, it's already important to each one of us. But we can find even more reason why it's even that much more important. So let me just move this over here. So that's why we will be looking. Why is it important based on the scriptures? We just read Leviticus chapter 23, right? And it says that last portion, believe it or not, if the answer is in the last verse. Well, almost verse 43 of Leviticus chapter 23. This is the reason why it's important to Elohim. That Elohim is, let me say, this is the importance that Elohim is stressing. But we have to find out why. Let's see if there are some clues as why is that important to Elohim, and how could that help us in our relationship with him and each other. So Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40 says, verse 42 says, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths." Verse 43, that, here's the reasoning behind it. Here's the reason. "That your generations, your descendants may know that I," that is Elohim, "made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Eternal, your Elohim." That's why Elohim wanted the people of Israel to continue to celebrate this. It's not just for them to do it, but it's for that their generations may know that he made the children of Israel dwell in booths or tents, Sukkot, when he took them out of the land of Mizraim, the land of Egypt. So, okay, just think about that. Think about what happens in Sukkot for a little bit. You have to, if you're not living in Judah, I really don't believe any of the holy days are what they call those feasts that you have to travel. What's the word for that? I forgot. There's a word for that. You have to make some journey. Yeah, I don't believe that's the emphasis. Traveling, leaving your home. That's not the emphasis. That's error. The emphasis is dwelling in booths. Not have some people, like I'm from the church, former Church of God, and what they used to do, people used to leave their home, spend thousands of dollars to travel to some particular place because the emphasis was, oh, you have to leave your house, you have to travel. And no, that's not the emphasis at all. That's a great error. The only reason people had to travel was because the place had to be held. Yeah, they call it a pilgrimage feast. It's not really a pilgrimage feast at all. The people only had to travel because they did not everyone lived in Jerusalem. If everyone lived in Jerusalem, no travel would be necessary, because obviously there were lots of people living in Jerusalem, right? They did not have to travel. So what? So they missed out on the pilgrimage importance? They would have. If pilgrimage was the emphasis, then the people who lived in Judah got the short end of it because they didn't have to travel. So obviously that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is that they dwelt in booths. And another proof of this is when the people lived, I don't want to digress to them because that's not the emphasis of our study, but it's really not a pilgrimage feast at all. The only thing is that they had to dwell in booths. That's it. That's what the main emphasis was. They went to Jerusalem because that's where Elohim chose to put his name. Long before that, it was Bethel. But then because of something went wrong, Elohim said, you will no longer to go to Bethel, right? You'll no longer go to the house of the power, the house of Bethel. But now, then Jerusalem was the place. And so they had to, if you did not live in Jerusalem, you had to travel to Jerusalem. But the people in Jerusalem had no traveling to do. They already left there, but they all needed to dwell in booths. So let's move on. So they had to dwell in booths. Now, again, think about what I was, let me go back to the point I was saying. Why is this so important? Okay, the people came out of slavery. Now you're traveling, you're making stops, and every time you stop, you have to camp, set up your tent or booth or sukkah. Why is that important? Where's the value of that? And if you didn't do it, you would die or be cut off. People had to travel, leave their homes, and have faith in Elohim that their homes would not be troubled by invaders or possibly wild beasts. So think about it. Why put the people, a whole nation, we're not talking about 10, we're talking about millions of people. Why put them through that? Well, let's find out. That's the question. Why is it important? So the significant meaning to his people. Okay, so let's see, 45. Yeah. The Eternal dwelt with them in a tabernacle. Let's look at Exodus chapter 29. Elohim does something, and he wants us to do the same. Be like your Elohim is point one. Be like your Elohim point one. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 29. About booths. Why is it important for the people to dwell in booths? Well, let's take a look at Exodus chapter 29. Chapter 29, verse 42, 43, and 45. Shemot, chapter 29, Exodus chapter 29, verses 42, 43 to 45. So let me read this. Verse 42 says, "It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of the sukkah of meeting, the Mishkan of meeting, before the Eternal, where I will meet with you." To do what? To speak to you there. Whoa. It's not a book relationship here. It's a living relationship. I'll read that again. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting, the sukkah, the booth of meeting before the Eternal, where I will meet with you to speak to you there. Verse 43. There, where? At the tent, at the sukkah, at the tabernacle, I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. Verse 44, I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons, I will consecrate to serve me as priests. You see, he's coming to speak. He's doing something. This is one of the importance of the tent. He's doing something. He's coming to speak with the people there. He's consecrating. He will consecrate the tent himself by his presence. He will also consecrate Aaron to serve as priest. He will do it by his presence, by his command. And verse 45 says, I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their Elohim. And they shall know that I am the Eternal, their Elohim, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Eternal, their Elohim. So that's point one. Elohim did something in relationship to the tent, and he wants us to do the same, to be conformed to his image by his spirit. And we will see more why the glory in all of this. So one reason is why he made, like back in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 45, where it says, that you shall remember that that your generations may know that that I made you to dwell with booths. If you do, if they dwell in booths and Elohim wasn't there, what's the big deal? The big deal is that Elohim was in their midst. They saw the pillar of cloud. They saw the pillar of cloud by day. They saw the pillar of fire by night. They heard his voice. They were just not right, listening to written texts, brethren. They were listening fresh to fresh communication, living communication between Moses, between the priests, and sometimes they heard it themselves. That's the awesomeness about all of this. Let's continue. So he made them dwell in booths as he did. He arranged the specific, he arranged their specific placement. So he's in this booth, glorious in majesty and power and wisdom and kindness and love. And now he sets them, when they came out of Egypt now, to dwell in booths. Let's look at this. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 3, verse 21 and 23. I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 3, verses 21 to 38. It's very important to read this because a lot of the understanding comes from there. Numbers, Bar Midbar, as it's called in the Hebrew, chapter 3, Numbers chapter 3, verses 21 to 38. I will read it in your hearing. Let's make sure I have that. Actually, I will not read the whole thing. I'll read part of it so you could get, just to get the context. You could read it yourself. Let me start with verse 21 of chapter of verse 3. Just find chapter 3, starting with verse 21. Okay, let me cut into the context, just for part of verse 14 and verse 20. And the Eternal spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, list the sons of Levi by fathers, houses, and by clans. Every male from a month old and upward you shall list. Okay, then verse 20 says, these are the clans of the Levites by their fathers' houses. So verse 21 starts listing the clans. So he wants them to be in clans, in groups, or in tribes. And it goes on all the way to verse 38. So it says here, but let me go to verse 36, and I'll explain. And the appointed guard duty of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, the bases, and all their accessories, all the service connected with these. And verse 10, also the pillars around the court with their bases and pegs and cords. Those who were, verse 38 says, those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting toward the sunrise, where Moses and Aaron and his sons guarding the sanctuary itself to protect the people of Israel, and any outsider who came near was to be put to death. And so what this verse shows is how he arranged the Levites among the clans and gave them specific duty of what they needed to do from verse 21 to 38, right? So, And it continues throughout the following chapters. And there are other scriptures, and we might see them, and we'll see it in chapter 10. So he made them journey and to camp. I'm sorry, he arranged their specific placement of the Levites. So it wasn't some disorganized group of people, okay? The Levites themselves had a specific place they had to be, no matter where they were traveling. Some of them had to be in the position in the east, some in the north, specific position. So my point going so far here is that he was in glory in the tabernacle, and he's arranging the priests, the Levites, to be in order and majesty. And if you've read there about the description of the garments, he said the garments were created for beauty, for majesty and glory, their garments. Right? So he arranged the priests in a specific order. Now he made them journey and to camp at his command. So you had all the Israelites gathered together in a wonderful, organized way. And he being the head, commanded them, gave his command. Let's read that in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. Again, all of this has to do with the booths. They were living in booths. So it's good to, this shows us what was happening. Why was it important? Chapter 9, verses 15 to 23 says, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent or booth of the testimony, and at evening it was over the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire until morning, just like I said. So it was always, could you imagine that? Always, it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. That's what was going on in the tents. That's one of the reasons Elohim says that the children of Israel, their descendants, the generations may know that I made you dwell in booths. What was going on when they were dwelling in booths? That's what. The presence of Elohim was there. They could see his majesty. They could see the fire appear in the night. They could see the cloud. It changed from fire to cloud in the day and vice versa. And moving over the tent, let me continue. Verse 16 of chapter 9. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Verse 17 says, and whenever the cloud lifted up from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the people of Israel camped. Wow, this is Elohim literally leading his people by word and by action. A perfect teacher. I settle, you settle. I rise. Follow me, follow me. Yeah, I'm sorry, my brother Corbin. I settle, you settle. I rise, you rise. Thank you, brother. And so let's continue. So there they camp. Do you see, can you imagine being there? Seeing the fire. I'm saying, seeing the cloud by day. Seeing it change into fire before your very eyes by night. And it changing to a cloud again by day. A glorious cloud. Remember, there were over 1 million people scattered for miles, you can say. I wouldn't say miles, but for a large amount of space, because they were positioned. I've seen some terrible movies about, the Israelites in Egypt. They show them as a confused, miserable looking bunch of people. That wasn't how it was, because the scriptures told us even when they sinned after the 40 years, their sandals never wore off. Their garments did not tear. The spirit of Elohim in their midst kept them, preserved them. Hallelujah. This is why the Sukkot is so important. Why it's important to remember it. And so when they were here, not yet here, the presence was with them. Could you imagine? You put yourself there. How would you feel? How would you feel? Let's continue. Let me see. What verse did I say? Up to verse 23. Okay. So at the command of the Eternal, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Eternal, they camped. Do you see that? As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remain in camp. It's teaching us to understand. It's not just remember they dwell in booths. We have to know what that means. We have to look at what happened when they lived in booths. Then you will see the glory and the majesty and the meaning. There's so much more to it than what I'm saying. But in the little time I have, I'm sharing, as much as I can. So they remained in camp when the cloud rested. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge, kept the command of the Eternal, the instruction. They did not set out. They came to understand that whenever Elohim stood still, what do? Stand still. When Elohim moves, you move. It says, even when the cloud continued over the town many days. So there are times in our lives, you may want to move. You may want to get something going in Elohim, in righteousness and goodness and love and all, and Elohim hasn't moved yet. What do? Stand still and wait for him. Let's continue. So even when the cloud continued, verse 9, even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, that's verse 19, the people of Israel kept the charge, kept the command, kept the instruction of the Eternal and did not set out. Verse 20, sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Eternal, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Eternal, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or it continued for a day and a night. When the cloud lifted, they set out. Whoa! That means be ready to do whatever Elohim commands. Do you understand the work involved in camping and uncamping? Do you understand? Just look at the description of the tent of meeting. And not only how you had to handle it, these articles made of gold, these cups, all these things had to be taken down when it's time to move. All of it. Do you know that? The priest had to carry the golden altar. They had to disassemble everything when it's time to move. And when it's time to camp, put it all back together. Could you imagine the wisdom and knowledge these people are gaining and the patience and could you imagine doing that? You would become, it would transform your life. I believe that. Those who are righteous doing that every day, you would become so wise, so intelligent, in your mind and in your physical abilities just by doing that. Cause sometimes it lasted for a long time. Sometimes it just one day. You have one day to assemble, one day to move on. It's unbelievable. Verse 22. So whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. There was no, I'm not ready. Oh, no. Everybody was always paying attention to what the head is doing. Verse 23 to end this portion. So at the command of the Eternal, they camped. And at the command of the Eternal, they set out. They kept the charge of the Eternal at the command of the Eternal by Moshe. So do you see how important it is to understand when in Leviticus chapter 23, it says, You shall dwell in booths that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths. I hope. To me, this has impressed me a lot when I read this. And I was really excited just to read it because I could visualize. You need to visualize. You understand? When you're learning something important, you have to put yourself there. Put yourself in that experience in your mind. We can't fully experience it, but if we put ourselves there, at least in our mind, it will become much more vivid, much more clear for us to see that glorious majesty and his voice. You know what, that glorious voice, when they hear that thunderous voice, when they see that magnificent presence. And I didn't finish a thought. As I was saying, the reason I said the people of Israel were spread out, there were over a million of them. I don't have time to go there. When you read the description of the cloud, it covered the entire camp. Do you understand that? Do you understand how big the cloud was? Yeah, it wasn't just, you know, a pillar in, that's all. The pillar it part of it came down as a pillar over the tent, but it extended over the entire congregation of over a million people. Whoa, do you understand? Can we visualize that? That's why that's so important. Let's move on. Because I have a few more things to. So that's why it's important to when we think about. Let's see what else we have here. We have you could find the specific order of the people in chapter 10, okay? That's where it begins with the silver trumpets. And by digression, let me say, a lot of the people, you know, I noticed they, you know, they have the ram's horn and all of that, and they're claiming that's the Feast of Trumpets. That they use that for the Feast of, that's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I want us to understand that the Feast of Trumpets was really done by the Levites, and they use silver trumpets to do that. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. If I'm not saying the congregation didn't necessarily blow their ram's horns. I'm not saying that, but I just want to say, according to the Torah, what Elohim commanded and required was for the priest, for the Levites, to blow the horns. And they did not blow ram's horns. They blew the silver trumpets. That's what the Torah says. Okay, it's just what the scripture says. It's the silver trumpets. But that's a study for another time. As a discussion for another time. But and I'm not saying, hey, I'm not saying it's wrong to blow the ram's horn. Again, I want to be clear. I'm just saying what they really did, what the command was, is for the priests, the Levites, to blow the silver trumpets. So when you hear in the scriptures and the Levites are blowing their trumpets, it's not ram's horns. They're blowing these silver trumpets described here in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, verses 11 to 12, goes on to describing the exact arrangement of each tribe in their tents, where they were positioned. So you could gain an idea of how organized it was. They were not just a ragtag people just walking in any old way as they show in these horrible movies. I say it's horrible because it takes away the glory of Elohim and make the people look like some miserable people just traveling in the desert about to collapse. No, they were a mighty group, and they all had their own banners organized. And that majestic tabernacle was made majestic by Elohim in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night led them. And when Elohim camped, they camped. When they move as a mighty organized army, and Elohim was their heads, and all the nations tremble around. You could imagine that sight. Imagine you not being a part of that nation, and you hear this sound, and you look, and what do you see? You see a cloud over you, and because it's so far away, you can't see the tent, but you just see a multitude of people arranged, and they're just marching in an organized way with their and over them is a cloud that seems to never end. That's just covering them in their travel. And you're seeing all of this. And then you're watching and you're sending communication to your own, people. And you come out, they send out guards at night, and the guards come and they watch from, I'm sorry, at evening, and they watch that cloud turn into fire before their very eyes. And they watch that fire extend all over the entire people. Could you imagine that, brethren? Let's continue from that point. But now when the people sinned against, so that's what happened when they were in union with Israel, with Elohim, when he took them out of Egypt. When they sinned against Israel, let's see what happened. When Israel sinned, against Elohim, let's see what happened. Let's turn to Hosea. Hosea, this has to do with the booths too. So all of this is the booths. Remember, the people were dwelling in tents in this majestic leadership of Elohim. Let's see what happened when they sinned against Elohim. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 12. Let me try to find this here. Hosea chapter 12 It's thank you, brothers. After Daniel, just see, almost there. I have a lot to share, but I'm going to try to cut short and just try to summarize the rest and maybe finish it off next week. But I'm going to stop here. And then after I read this, so we could, and we will probably continue this next at the last day of the feast, and also try to cover the Eternal will meet with us. That's part of it too. It's a different study. All right, so Hoshea, I said Hoshea chapter 12, verse 9. Okay. All right, let's see. All right, I'm going to go to cut into the content a little bit. Capture some of the context. I'll start with verse 7. A merchant in whose hands are false balances. He loves to oppress. Let's see, who is he speaking about? Oh, Judah. He was speaking about Judah, right? Hoshea is showing all the problems with the tribes. And this one was about Judah. He ends by saying, this is about Ephraim. He spoke about Judah before. Now he's speaking about Judah. So verse 7 says, yes, he's speaking about Ephraim. Sorry, let me say that again. In verse 1 through 6, he was speaking of chapter 12. He was speaking about Judah. But from verse 7, he's speaking about Ephraim. So let's go. It says, a merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress. Ephraim has said, ah, but I am rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they cannot find in me iniquity or sin. I am the Eternal, but then verse 9 says, I am the Eternal, your Elohim, from the land of Egypt. I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the last days of the appointed feast. I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the last days of the appointed feast. What does it mean by the last days of the appointed feast? He's talking about all the feasts, but the last days of the appointed feast is in the seventh month. Understood? So that's the last days of the appointed feast. So the last feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's the last day of the appointed, is the last days of the appointed feast at the seventh month. So, and that's when you dwell in tents. So verse 10 says, I spoke to the prophets. It was I who multiplied visions, and through the prophets gave parables. If there is iniquity in Gilead, they shall surely come to nothing. In Gilgal, they sacrifice bulls. Their altars also are like stone heaps on the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to the land of Aram. There Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he guarded sheep. By a prophet, the Eternal brought Israel up from Egypt, and by a prophet, he was guarded. Ephraim was given bitter provocation, so his Adon, his master, will leave his blood guilt on him, and will repay him for his disgraceful deeds. I wanted to read all the rest so you could understand. Ephraim thinks he's okay. He thinks he's sinless, but Elohim says, in verse 9, I am the Eternal, your Elohim. And I will make you dwell in tents again, as in the days of the appointed feast. And he explains why. And he points out to Ephraim that he is not without sin. So I'll stop here and I'll just recap. There's more to it, but you know, I don't want to take too long. I want to leave time for other things, and so you can share too. So next time, Eternal permitting, I will go to part 3, which is the observation. Like, how is it done? And verse 4, and part 4 will be how we can look forward to the future. What is the future application of all of this? And part 5
will show us that Elohim himself is the eternal, tabernacle, the eternal sukkah. Okay, so again, so I stop here, brother. So just a recap of what we did. We looked at in Leviticus chapter 3, where Leviticus chapter 23, the last verse tells us why Elohim wants us to keep Sukkot. His people keeps the Sukkot. That's so our generations may know that he made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, right? So that's for us. We have to understand we are the people that was told to were long gone thousands of years ago. We are the ones that are benefiting from that memory. We don't have the experience. We have the memory. So we have to look back and see what was it that was so important about dwelling in booths, right? To make them dwell in booths. And in celebration of that, we need to dwell in booths. Why is it important to celebrate? Because Elohim was there dwelling in booths all the time in majesty and glory, as we just as we saw in the text. And also how he arranged the people in a glorious and powerful way, and how his presence guided them. He commanded them to go, to stop, and they did exactly what they told him. And when the people sinned against him, we saw that he put them out. But he said to them, they will again dwell in booths, as we saw in Hosea chapter 12, verse 9. And we will look at that. The book of Revelations chapter 19, 20, around those, the end of chapter, shows that too in other places. Shows them living in a land without walls. And so on. So we could look at some of the meaning of that. So I stop here, brethren. I hope this has helped you see a little bit the value of the Feast of Tabernacles, how wonderful, a great time, amazing time it was when Elohim was there on the earth. So next time, we'll look at how it's to be observed per scripture, not by the traditions of any religion, but what the scripture actually says. And we could look at what we have to look forward for the future, and also look at how Elohim is actually, literally, an infinite eternal tabernacle. I stop here. Emmet, thank you. So if you have anything